No, actually, I was born, it was called the Freeman Farm. It was what is Pudney's Upper Farm now. And my one sister and brother and I were all born there. And shortly after that, we moved to, seemed like we was moving every year. I don't know whether probably the payment come due or something. We went, moved to East Freetown, and then we went to Truxton, and then back, and then I finally went to Solon. And I went to school in McGraw. After high school, my grandfather passed away, so I came over and worked for my Uncle Wayne full time. I'd worked summers before that for him, but then after I graduated, and I worked for him until we got married.
Then a little while longer.
No, well, just from February till May.
Would you state your name? In there when you were born?
I'm running away
from that. Oh, okay, I'm Roland Curtis Elwin. I was born May 11th, 1937.
Okay. Do you know when the family came to this area?
Not really, other than we've done some research, you know, looking up people in they came into McDonough, and then they worked over this way, and our great great grandfather was a medic in the Civil War. He was at Gettysburg, and then he came back, and then I guess he settled on a small farm up here off in Elwood Road. I always figured that's how that Granddad Road got its name, was because of our granddad was living out there. But maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but that's...
Well, we might fight you over that one. I think it was my granddad.
Okay, well, this somebody's granddad lived over there.
It had to be, that's the name.
Yeah, then my as I understand it, my grandfather, my great-grandfather went west, and I don't know how long he was out there, because he was at least two or three boys were born in Illinois, and then they moved back here and settled on what we call the Elwood Homestead. It's one where Kenneth and Stella lived.
What were your parents like?
Well, my dad seemed to be working all the time. And after my sisters got old enough to go to school, then my mother worked out too also. Mm-hmm. And I can even remember one time he had two jobs. He was working on the state highway during the day, and then afterwards he would go up and work for 4 or 5 hours up to a machine shop in Homer, that he and Mom would ride to work in the morning, and she'd come home and make supper for us kids, and then we'd go back and pick him up at night around 10:30, and he'd come home and have supper.
So where did you really grow up?
Actually, I probably could say that I grew up in McGraw, Solon, and then I went to McGraw School. That's where I graduated.
But you went to a country school?
Yeah, I started in Solon in a little one-room country school that I think I started in second grade, and I took fourth and fifth grade together, and I went right on into sixth, and that's how I caught up with my sister.
Oh.
Do
you remember what games you played?
Just my brother and I, we had a bucket up on the side of the house. We'd play basketball. That's about it. We never done much playing. I don't remember. We was working most of the time.
Right. Well, what kind of entertainment did you do?
Listen,
working?
Well, listened to the radio, mm-hmm. and we finally, about the time and I had graduated from high school, we got our first TV, and then we all set in. You know, the life changed after that. We moved the kitchen table in the living room, and that's where we'd eat supper while we was watching TV.
What programs did you watch?
All the news, and I can't really remember a lot of the movies. We'd watch them. I know that they'd holler about 11 o'clock, tell us to turn off that TV and go to bed. Mm-hmm. We had one old guy he was a distant uncle of my mother's. It was my grandmother's brother. And he was kind of an old bachelor, and he would come over, watch television while us kids would go to bed, and Dad would start to turn off the TV, and he'd say, "Well, there's another one coming on." And he'd stay right there until the test pattern came on.
Oh, Walt Trippy?
Yeah, that's old Uncle Walt.
What was table like when you moved over here?
I think it was quite a place there. We had the store, and it had a post office in Taylor. I believe where Cross's Flower Shop, I think that was going on then. Of course, then they had the cheese factory.
What were your neighbors like?
Actually, we never really associated much of the neighbors. I don't know. Once in a while, we had one that my dad and my mother done chores for these people one winter when they went to Florida right after Mom and Dad got married. And we'd go up and visit them, and, you know, go out and see the cows and stuff like that. But we never really associated much with the neighbors.
How about after you started over here working with Grant? How did the farmers in exchange work and stuff like that?
Yeah, we all changed off. Usually started with thrashing. We'd all plant oats, and then somebody would have a thrash machine, and then they would go around. Finally, Wayne bought one after I'd been over there a while. We'd go around and do the oats. I think Howard Potter had the thrash machine most, and he would go around. And Howard was quite a guy to get to your place just before dinner. And then a lot of the places you would only have about one day's worth of thrashing. And so he'd always figure on being back there the next day to tear the machine down, and then he'd get another dinner out of it. But Howard was a good man to work with. When we come to silo filling, Ned Freeman and Howard both had corn harvesters, and they had small elevators. And we would drop the corn on the wagon. So whoever got on Howard's wagon or Howard's rig, it was fairly easy. But Ned Freeman had a habit: if you were, having good luck, he'd slip the tractor up another gear so that it would go a little faster. And many a time I grabbed an ear off the stalk of corn and throwed it at him to slow him down.
Ooh, don't let your grandfather in the fork.
Oh, yeah. Ned had kind of an odd sense of humor. He would back when we would bale hay, usually in the spring, farmers would have extra hay left over, so they went around with these, hay balers or hay, like they call them, hay presses, and you pitch the hay up on a little platform, and then there'd be one person standing right by the where the hay went down, and he would push the hay so that it would get pushed into the machine. Well, my grandfather had only one arm, so they give him kind of an easier job, so he'd just have to put the hay up on the little platform, and Ned Freeman, seeing how it was his baler, he'd be the one to push the hay into the baler. Well, occasionally he'd reach over the same time my grandfather threw the hay up, and then he would somehow he'd grab his hay fork and it would take it right into the baler and smash it. So my grandfather, he had it once, so he brought an extra fork with him when he So he went down to his truck and got that. Well, later on, it happened again. And so that time, my grandfather just went over and sat down. And at the end of the day, when he got ready to go home and do chores, he just went down to Ned's barn and picked out two nice hay forks and took them home with him.
Never heard that story before. Were you involved in any of the activities of the church besides getting married there?
No. In fact, we only went to church what once. That was after we got married. We went down there, and the only person that even noticed that we was there was Bob Pudney. He got up and offered us a chair, and the rest of the people never even spoke to us.
Really?
So that was the only Sunday we went to church there.
What kind of other farming implements were there? Do you remember?
Well, when I started working on the farm, they were just starting to use tractors. The farmers always had a team of horses, but most of them were kind of switching over to tractors. So I never really got to driving horses very much. I mean, just one time I remember I was raking scatterings or something. Well, Uncle Wayne was cultivating corn up where Chip's house is now, and he wanted me to get him a drink. So I come down and I tied the horses up to the clothesline and went in, and Catherine made him a quart of Kool-Aid. And I slipped it down the front of my pants so I could use both hands. Well, in the meantime, we had one old horse. I don't know, was it Prince, the bay?
Ooh.
Well, anyhow, he had this habit of slipping his tongue over the top of the top of the bit. Well, when I got on I said, giddy up, and they did. Took Craig off, well, went running out the field. Well, the pin jumped out of the whiffle trees, and I went flying. It's just lucky I landed on my side instead of on my stomach, because I would have crushed that Kool-Aid. And they run up on the side hill and got twisted up, and my Uncle Wayne straightened them out and brought them back down. I don't remember whether I finished raking with them or not. But
I bet that's when they sold them.
That one.
Yeah, because then you bought Grit and Maple, I think.
Yeah. But the other horse was a real good one. That was kind of a bay it wasn't the white one, because I don't think we ever used the white one. That one up there.
Yeah.
But
can you tell us about your dad showing you how to follow bees to the tree?
Oh, yeah. Years ago, well, I guess you still can get codfish in those little boxes with a slide cover on them. Well, my dad would take that cover, wooden cover, out and slide a piece of glass in there. And then he would put in, I don't know, sugar or something. And then the time that he showed me how to do it, we went to a field that was buckwheat. It was all in blossom, and the bees were working on it. And we just went down and slipped the cover back and caught a bee. And he was in there, he'd eat that sugar, and then we let him go. And it wouldn't be too long, he'd come right back to you. And so then we'd start walking in the direction that we see him fly. And each time he would come back, and then we'd time him to see how long it took him to get back there. And if it was, you know, 5-10 minutes, they probably the bee tree was probably quite a ways away. But I don't ever remember finding a bee tree, but that's how Dad said they done it.
So when did you move down here?
Down here by where?
Right here.
Oh, we down 1965. That we got married in 58, and I worked three or four months more for Uncle Wayne, and then we couldn't afford to live on what they was paying me. That so I got a job and worked in a wood shop for a little while, and then I went to work for Talmadge Tire. And then after that, I got onto construction. My brother-in-law was a bricklayer, and he got me a laborer's job. And I worked for about 3 years as a laborer. And then I got in the meantime, we had a small place up the road here on Frog Hollow Road that Nance would raise calves, and we'd buy a few cows along. Well, we got to the point where we was either going to have to get bigger or sell them out. And that time, Nancy's brother had been farming here, and he decided he didn't want to farm it anymore, so we figured we'd just combine the two places. And that was in 1965 we moved down here, and we've been here ever since.
So how many children do you have?
Only one.
Only one. What's her name?
Name is Judith Lynn Elwood, mm-hmm. And now it's Duran, and right. She's got two kids, and we've also got three great-grandkids.
And where's Judy live?
She lives up on where our farm used to be there on Frog Hollow. She's got a place there.
Can you think of anything, Nancy?
Can I think of anything? I can think of a lot of stuff, but you don't want to sit here all that time.
What were the farm buildings and structures like back then, during your lifetime? How they changed?
Well, a lot of the people, when they build an addition on their barns, in later years, they were just one story. But years ago, they had to build them two stories so that they'd have room to plant, put hay upstairs. But the new buildings are mostly just one story, maybe with a big silo or, you know, something like that on it, that they've kind of got away feeding a lot of dry hay.
How did the milking change?
Oh, a lot. The milkers really improved. From some of the first milkers, it was pretty near torture. The cows weren't used to them, and they weren't really, really good ones. But now they've improved them a lot. Most all the farmers, instead of having buckets, have got a pipeline where the milk goes right from the cow right into the bulk tank, and it never even hits the air. And a lot of farmers have gone to milking parlors, so they just drive the cows in and milk them and drive them right on out, and they get fed somewhere else. And a lot of farmers have gone to what they call a total mix ration, where they dump everything into a mixture wagon, and so the cows get the same thing every day. There's no good hay or bad hay, or in fact it's probably a lot better for the cows.